Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm Jamie Davis, the pod medic. We're here in the Physio Control Podcast Studio in EMS World Expo 2017 in Las Vegas. I'm really excited to be here and here with some really good friends. You've been with us in podcasts before. Of course, my co-host Sam Bradley is here, and I also have Dr. Gustavo Flores from Puerto Rico. Gustavo, you've had a rough road over the last month or so, and we're going to talk a little bit about what conditions are like, what it was like riding out a Category 5 hurricane in your home, and so we'll kind of kick into that. But Sam, you know, it's been a great conference. It's the last day of the show.
Oh, yes. We've had some amazing guests the last few days, and, you know, it's one of those where, yeah, we're tired, but we hate to see it go. So today's going to be another good day. I'm wearing my Support Vegas shirt.
Your Vegas Strong shirt.
Vegas Strong shirt to show my dedication here. But it's been a great show. Love it. But, you know, we're really lucky to have Gustavo because I really want to hear from somebody who rode through that storm and knows what the conditions are like. And I was just telling him, except for a clerical glitch, I would be there myself right now with my DMAT.
But there's still time.
Yeah, they'll be cycling other DMATs in, I'm sure, right?
He's right. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. With the conditions down there, with the health infrastructure issues, we're going to have to support that for a while until more hospitals come back online. So that's another thing I'd like you to talk about. But anyway, start from the beginning on here comes the storm. What do you do?
What do you do? How do you prepare?
Here comes Irma.
Here comes Irma. Yeah, that's right.
So let's start with Irma, right? Because you got hit by Irma first.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's
right.
True.
Right. So first of all, thank you again for the opportunity. I'm super excited to be again in EMS World Expo 2017. Saw a good friend from Clark County Fire Department EMS, Troy Took, on my way in. Well, I've seen him all week long, and the minute I saw him, we took a selfie, and I labeled Las Vegas Strong, Puerto Rico Strong, and then Stronger Together.
Beautiful.
That's great.
I
like, that's awesome.
So it's like, okay. So this all started early September when Irma came. We were spared by not too much because the entire island got tropical storm winds, and a narrow portion of the northeast had hurricane force winds. But we were not getting the severe impact that we had previously estimated. When that initial weather report came in, the executive director for the Puerto Rico Electrical Power Authority came in saying we expect loss of electricity for somewhere between 4 to 6 months. And everybody was shocked at that estimate.
And that was for Irma.
That was for Irma. He was saying, brace for impact, we're waiting, we're expecting this. Fortunately, that's not what happened. We had several areas that were not able to recover fully from Irma. Before Maria came, including my office, and that's another story.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. You know, we were basically getting back to normal, sort of, from Irma when we started hearing the news of Maria. From a personal side, you know, I have a year and a half daughter, so I didn't have a generator. Since the hurricane season started, I was looking at that vulnerability. I was saying, you know, I need to get this. Food's okay, water's okay. I can, you know, pretty much like a week long, maybe about 2 weeks food. I was okay. I said, you know, I don't have a generator at home. So I went to Costco, and my wife said, let's go to Sam's Warehouse, whatever. Sorry for brands, but
that's okay.
So we went to compare. When we came back to buy it, they're all gone.
Oh, surprise.
So you comparison shopped, and they were gone from the first
that same day.
You should have grabbed it.
That same day.
Yeah, oh my God.
Well, long story short, Irma came on Wednesday. I bought it on a Tuesday, so I was set. But I had gas. She was only able to get, because there was none where I was, fuel tanks, like 7 gallons total. and the whole generator consumed 6 gallons every 8 hours. So I had fuel for one night, basically.
Oh.
All right. So I was out of power for about 2 days at home. So I thought, you know, it's a Friday. I thought, I'll wait till Monday and get that generator into my office and set it up there and, you know, get back to business. Well, Monday came and we had no power. I had to fly out to an American Heart Association meeting on that Sunday till Wednesday. So by Wednesday, I was already making plans. My electrician said, I can only do it on Friday because I'm booked all week long. Well, they were expecting 99% recovery of the electricity grid by Friday. So I was like, okay, let's just wait. Thursday, he called in and said, we have a problem. We don't have any, there's no cables. You can't find plugs or anywhere in hardware stores.
Wow.
Like Home Depot.
Who would
or
think? Yeah,
you
wow.
couldn't find material. So I'm coming back tomorrow, but there's no way we can fix it. I mean, we can rig it, but it's going to be tough. So Friday came. On Saturday, we started hearing about Maria.
Oh.
So I was like, okay. When it suddenly started, you know, increasing in strength, and we looked at a direct hit. Obviously, we had already gone through the mental model of how to respond to it. So in that sense, it was, I don't know, kind of surreal, because you're thinking about, are we recovering or not? Or, I mean, where are we in this? Some groups were shaking high fives for an excellent response because of the repatriation that happened in the Virgin Islands to
right,
PR.
Yeah.
And it was an excellent...
Because St. Thomas got a direct hit from Irma.
Several islands.
And we had... There was this drill that made earlier this year called Tropical Journey, in which there were... The exercise was a Category 4 hurricane, or Category 5 hurricane hitting... the southeast of Puerto Rico. So, and they were looking at all these different repatriation issues, and many of the lessons learned from that exercise were applied successfully at Irma. So it was actually a successful story. And when, particularly talking about the VA hospitals and their system that they put in place to help that
but you didn't realize it was just practice for Maria.
Right. Well,
but maybe that's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, once you're part of the problem as well, it kind of shakes your ability, because it's okay if somebody else is having, I mean, you can respond, but when you are in it, you're a victim as well, so it makes things a lot more difficult.
And the whole multiple storm thing, I mean, nobody could wrap their brain around, okay, hurricane's here, hurricane's gone, we're good. Oh, no, wait.
Right.
There's
right,
another one,
right,
and another one, and another
right,
one, and we don't know what they're going to do.
Right. I was slated to, I'm sure you've heard it, but many people may not have. We launched a Spanish version of EMS World last year.
Yes.
This year, we had our first expo in Spanish in Bogota, Colombia.
Oh. Right, and we actually interviewed Joe Holly and Jim Logan from
they were down
Bogota
there.
Mm-hmm. To talk about what they were doing down there.
Right. So I've, you know, as the associate editor for the magazine, I had been in weekly, like somewhere between 1 and 3 weekly conference calls, you know, for that event. So on our Monday conference call, I was telling Scott, you know, Scott Craven is a publisher for EMS World, like this looks very ugly. I actually said that on Saturday. And on Monday, I was like, I don't think I'll be able to make it, you know. And I thought, well, let me take my daughter and wife with me to Bogota, right? But then you can't. I was not going to be able to fly
you weren't
back.
Gonna be able to get back, right?
Right. And then, yeah, and then
exactly,
there's so many things you have to tend to while at it. I don't live in a floodplain. I live in a safe house. It was not prone for flooding. It is not. I think I was in a safe place to be during the hurricane. I actually brought my mother to my house. Not that she lives in a floodable area, but still it was safer to be with us. And my dad was also in a safe place. So we were okay with that. I wasn't worried about that, but you just don't know the extent of the damages, right? And obviously last big hurricane we had was in 1996, Georges, and wow. Hugo was in 1989. Hugo barely scratched the Northeast, but we were like 4 months without power. So it was a very traumatic experience, but it was a generation ago. So
yeah,
with such a shift in population, we've lost 500,000 people in the last 10 years because of the economic situation.
They've just moved to the States or moved to other places.
We've actually lost over 50,000 people, 58
really?
People have moved to Florida in this last month.
Just because they're leaving Puerto Rico to go to Florida because they can't live where they are. They can't get jobs, they can't do anything.
Right. There are many companies that have said, you know, we're out of business, basically. So at that time I said, you know what, I'll cancel Bogota, I'll stay here. A lot of friends said, hey, if you want to come over, it's like, you know, I guess my best choice will be to stay here. I guess I'll have to do a lot of things in the immediate aftermath.
And we should remind people that not only was this getting ready to ramp up for Bogota, but then another Hispanic event, the earthquake, which tied up all the Mexican responders that might have been attending the event too.
Right.
So it was a double whammy for this event.
Actually, my business, my company, I have two employees who work from Mexico, right? So you would say, well, I got staff elsewhere who can take over some of the functions. There's an earthquake, so go figure. So talk about, you know, planning and thinking what would happen if. So we were ready for the storm, minus the fuel thing, right? So that was still a concern, but food and water. So we just rode the storm. It's not just the wind, is all the noises that your house makes when. And I didn't have any major structural problems, but there are people obviously who lost it all.
Yeah.
And it's just that instant in which something breaks and suddenly you realize there is a torrential flood inside your house. Mm. Right. And you realize this is not going to be over in the next 4 to 6 hours. It's like you're looking at a 12-hour time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So if that happened somewhere, you know, halfway, you're still having a few more hours. So once you realize that this is disaster, I mean, this is catastrophic, it's like a sense of you know, it's not hopelessness, but you're at the tip,
dismayed.
When you're incapable of actually fixing it.
You can't do anything about it until the storm passes.
You're impotent.
Yeah.
Right. Plus you have just
safety being threatened. And it's not gonna. So, I mean, an earthquake is a short-lived event. A tornado could be short-lived. We're talking about 12 hours. So it's an emotional, mental, physical
roller coaster
ride. Because you're. If this was during the day, but we've had other storms that have come through at night, and you might say, you know what, you know, if I'm safe, one of the things I like to say is rest and eat whenever you can. You know, like if you have a chance right now, do it, because you don't know what's going to happen
right.
next, right? So it's so if
good point.
You stay put, and you know, audio books or whatever I could do to spend some. Only people who had no idea what was going on around them was my daughter and my dogs. You know, everybody else was panicking, but I mean, I guess it was just a matter of waiting. We at about 3 o'clock, I mean, the storm was about to leave the island at 6, but from the other end. So by 3 or 4 o'clock, where I live was not experiencing tropical storm winds, maybe some gusts from here to time to time, but nothing major. So I made sure everybody was safe at home, and I jumped in the rescue rig. So we made some initial assessments, made sure there, you know, we had severe structural damages in our base station. Our units were functioning. Because we're a volunteer rescue squad, largely comprised of members of other state systems. The units were in lockdown. I mean, we assumed that everybody would be tending to either their families or, and then once the storm passed, we would regroup and say.
And that's something we've talked about. Is
we did.
What
yes.
do the responders do when their families are also experiencing the event? How do you have a responder sit in a station when their families are going through a major?
Let me tell you what I did. I got in there. Made sure. We had to clear the exit, I mean, because there were debris blocking the entrance and exit, so we had to actually fix that. I said, I gotta make sure that, you know, I went to my mother's house, you know, try to contact, there was no communication to some relatives. So I said, you know, I need to make sure X, Y, and Z are in good order, are okay. And then you can have me for whatever else
right.
you need.
Yeah.
So I said, I told my partner, we gotta go here first. And it's sure.
Yeah.
So once we got that done, I was like, okay, you can. So the immediate aftermath, that was already we were able to hit the road by 5 or 6 p.m. It was already dawn, or it's sunset, right? The problem is you had no lights in a debris field. So going from A to B, which might have taken you about 5 minutes, could have taken you 25 minutes. Because you had to turn around, go, you know, the wrong direction or something.
Right. Road was washed out, trees down across the road, whatever the case
we
may be.
We flooded a speaker that was, you know, pretty high on our rig, so go figure. I mean, we were not going to Swiftwater, but you know, so we did had some we had a cardiac arrest patient, which fortunately there's nothing, you know, I mean,
bad timing on that.
There's no ambulance that was going to be responding until the next day. There was no backup and multiple comorbidities. And problem is there was no funeral home, no law enforcement, no way to transport that.
That corpse anywhere. Patient's body to some kind of care.
That happened across the entire island. Of people who died due to natural causes, not hurricane related, but what do you do with it?
And this is the thing that we talked about with Harvey, with Irma, in the States, in the mainland, as well as what's going on in Puerto Rico, is the normal things that happen in people's lives medically were still happening in addition to the water rescues,
probably.
The other things going on.
Now,
so you had these other comorbidities that were happening alongside.
So, an interesting call is we hear the police police headquarters contact EMS saying one of our units just encountered a motor vehicle accident. We have two victims. We need an ambulance. We need two ambulances. State EMS says we're not dispatching units till tomorrow.
Oh.
There's no way. You should be. I mean, try to
do
you know
you
do what you can. And this is he said. They're seeing exposed bones. They don't know how to move him. So we radioed, okay, we'll go. So here's a couple, 19-year-old couple, riding a four-track on a debris field after a hurricane with tip-fib fracture, arms on one patient. So this is not funny, but
right.
you know, the thing is,
ironic.
I was told that there was two victims. So I saw this guy who was tending to one of the patients. I thought he was the other guy. He was just somebody who was walking close and saw it and stopped. And I thought he was the other patient. So like talking to the two of you, right? So suddenly, so are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. The other guy is over there.
Oh.
I was like, okay, you know, like a
well,
novice.
But that's some of that tunnel
moment.
Vision you get
right.
when you start doing assessment, right?
We were in a torrential rain,
yeah.
like all soaking wet. So the guy suddenly goes like this, I'm here. He's at the debris. I mean, he like went underneath the whole thing. And you could see him shivering. You know, it was a mess. And then we had to transport him on a pickup truck because our rescue rig, we can't transport, I mean, it's a rescue truck. So we had the SWAT team, the police SWAT team was running an errand on a pickup truck. Those were the ones who saw them, and we arranged for them to be able to transfer. I mean, it was either that or, I mean, there was no way we would actually be able to move those patients.
We only got a few minutes, so tell us what's going on right now down there and what you expect in the near future in terms of recovery.
What happened afterwards, obviously, is all disasters are local, right? So it begins by the fact that everywhere you look, there's a debris field, or there are so many things that you can do. You can be so useful in your community. So it took a considerable time to see an organized response. And that's, you know, and this is my personal opinion, not any of the institutions I represent or work for. But it did took a considerable time. And eventually you would start to see the resources being deployed. But it was very difficult. So just to put things in perspective, I reached out to some of my colleagues in another emergency management strike team. And I said, well, I can either go with you, or if you want, I got two rescue rigs and I can bring my people about and we'll join efforts. And they had no plan on what to do.
Oh my.
So if I want to help, where would I go, right? Because there are so many things going on in hospital and out of hospital. So you knew that there were areas that had complete communication
blackouts.
Well, we'll be interested to see all the lessons learned, which it'll be a while, the recovery, obviously. So maybe we can get you on the phone sometime.
Yes,
and check
yes.
up and see how
once
things are
once
going.
You have the reliable phone connection.
I don't have cell signal at home. Oh. I don't have, and I still we're talking about 80% of the population still has no electricity. 30% still has no water, and we're almost more than a month out.
At the time we record this, right?
It is an ongoing crisis because there are still severe communication problems or severe lack of access to. One of my instructors left last Saturday on a missionary trip. Their plan was to drive as far as they could into this town that has roadblocks and then hike. So.
Well, we know federal resources will be down there as long as they're needed. So,
I mean, there's a lot you can do, not just locally but also abroad, to help. Now, I think the important thing is one important take-home message here is for providers is sometimes the organization doesn't come from the top. Sometimes. And that's the essence of CERT. Mm-hmm. You have to address your own needs. I mean, you have to do your own.
Like you said, disasters are local. So you
exactly
have to start at the community
thinking,
level.
Yeah. Right.
You have to
right.
walk out your front door and say, what can I do from right. what I can see right now?
Then we'll move
Once that's fixed,
yeah.
now I can go and help the next neighborhood over, the next street over,
exactly.
whatever the case
and
may be.
And we're talking even basic things like road access. Because they cleared
stuff.
Still
going to happen.
But still, people had to walk in the road because everything else was blocked. So it's like, well, they're not going to clear this in the foreseeable future. How about we do it? Because
right.
we're not going to see that. And that's minor compared to not having access to water, or not having access to food or other basic resources. But again, you have to not sit there and wait for everything to happen. You
be
have
self-sufficient.
To be
right.
self-sufficient and drive your community.
Wow. Well, we'll keep in touch.
I think we want to make sure when we touch base with you, maybe 6 months from now or whatever. And I know that's funny, but I want to have that long-term outlook. I want
right.
to have you be able to look back and maybe do an episode where we have Joe and Jim on, and we talk with you, and we say what are the lessons? What are the big picture lessons you could do with that?
I was talking to, I was in another meeting, put it this way, earlier this week, and I was talking exactly about that. We should 6 months from now, we should look at the lessons learned and say, did we actually implement them?
Yeah.
Because there are lessons learned and they're published.
And I hate to say this, but guess what happens June 1st, 2018?
It's come over.
It's another hurricane season.
Another hurricane season.
And we don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
But if not you, there will be another island or another place that has those lessons.
There are a lot of trade-offs because it's not just hurricane. It's disasters all over.
Yeah. Well, Gustavo, where can folks find you if they want to look up what you're doing and maybe keep track of where you are and how you are?
I'm in social media as gflores911. That's my handle usually, so you can reach out to me personally. I will publish some report eventually in my, my podcast, also eccpodcast.com. Our fire rescue squad, frems.com, first response emergency medical services, and I guess feel free to reach out and
great,
I'll publish some posts later on and also join you.
We want to know you're still safe down there.
Yeah, so. Good.
Thank you. Yeah, I really I know you guys and a lot of people who I happen to see this week here in EMS World Expo. That's why you come to this place, is because you see everybody here.
I didn't even contact you about coming on here beforehand because I assumed you weren't going to be here. And I didn't want to put anything else on your plate.
Right.
So I was shocked when we ran into each other.
Yeah,
honestly.
I mean,
that was
airport is 100% operating right now. And fortunately, you know, I'm blessed to be here. I'm happy to be here. It's a good vacation.
You need that. Good. You need that break.
I'll go
right
back
now.
Tomorrow.
So we want to thank Paragon Medical Education Group for being our sponsors. Look them up at paragonmedicalgroup.com. We want to thank Physio Control for sponsoring the podcast studio and EMS World for having us here again. Gustavo, thank you so much for coming on. I know we got to wrap up because we've got somebody else that wants to come on and do another episode. Sam, why don't you take us home? Because, I mean, Gustavo's telling a lot of stories about disaster medicine and some of the things he ran into in just the early minutes after the storm.
Well, we could do another couple hours, and I would be just as fascinated. I wish we had the time. But we are going to continue this series of conversations. But, man, there's just no better example than this, that disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.